Hello there, and welcome to the Q-Freak podcast. My name's James Templeton, features editor at www.q3.com. Coming up on today's show, we have a live, as it is, chat from the Nintendo Media Summit 2010 that was held on February the 25th. In attendance were Mike Mason, Adam Riley, and myself, and we took some time out from playing through all the lovely games at the event to have a chat through what we'd seen, heard, and played. So, take it away, me.
Right, hello and welcome to a good as live version of the Q3 podcast. Myself, Adam Riley and Mike Mason are sitting on the floor of a cloakroom, terribly glamorous. We're at the Nintendo Europe Media Summit 2009 on the 2010 even, the time flies. On the 25th of February 2010. We've been playing games since about 10:30 this morning, gentlemen. First of all, a very warm welcome to you both. So what do we think of what we've seen? Don't all rush at once. Adam.
Adam's very tired. Adam's been up since 1:30 this morning and had a few drinks. But I'm having a good time. Really enjoyed what I've played so far. I'm eager to go out and play some more.
Yeah, I'm having fun, I suppose.
Fun is being had. We had, as opposed to America, which seemed like they got like an hour-long presentation, I think, didn't they? We just had 10 minutes, and then we're told to go and get hands-on.
Nice and brief.
We got some dates announced. Mike, if you want to have a run through those for us.
Okay. We had Monster Hunter Tri, Monster Hunter 3, two most people. It's 23rd of April this year. Mario Galaxy 2 is getting a surprisingly early release in 11th of June, which I think is a bit further back than the American release.
Yeah, it's coming out in May in America, I believe.
Okay. Sin and Punishment 2 is on the 7th of May. Dragon Quest 9, which is being published by Nintendo as it is in America, it's coming out first half of this year, we think, but it's probably around summer. We can't quite remember what was on the slide, to be honest. Fling Smash, which is a renamed Span Smasher, which is the Motion Plus action puzzle game that's coming out in summer. Metroid Other M is third quarter with no specific date, and DSi XL is still coming out on Friday, March the 5th.
So there we go, no changes there. So less games than were on show at the American event. Kind of the DSiWare and the WiiWare was taken away to a greater extent. There's a massive focus on Mario Galaxy 2 and Metroid Other M, but we're going to start off with Monster Hunter 3, I think.
Yes.
It's the game we tried out first, and it's the game that's out first.
Yes.
So what are our thoughts on that?
Well, we got to play it in multiplayer. We could work alongside each other on the various quests. However, we weren't able to try out the WeSpeak function, mainly because there was too much background noise. It was a very loud environment, and we ended up slashing each other to pieces rather than attacking the monsters.
Yeah, Adam picked a particularly large hammerish type of weapon and spent a lot of the time killing everyone else rather than the monsters. But it's not necessarily my type of game, but I was pretty impressed with it.
It's good, yes. It reminds me of Zelda in some aspects. It's very much an action role-playing game. You take on a particular quest, you go down, you hunt some things, and then you go back and then you take on another quest.
You eat some meat.
Yeah. Oh, yes, and you can just whip out a barbecue in the middle of the battle.
Have a bit of a broil as well as a brawl. So there's lots of different characters, and there were three different maps available. I'd like to point out at this point, once again, that I beat the boss, the big monster thing.
I'd like to point out I never actually died during the thing.
And I think they're both trying to point out that Adam did particularly bad in the game.
Adam was very average.
I watched him get stomped to death by a dragon.
Yeah. That was so after killing the other hunters, I got stomped to death by a dragon.
Yeah.
Yes, I did very well.
You didn't kill me.
It's certainly pretty action-packed, and there's a lot going on, so a big thumbs up for that one. What should we do? Should we do scores out of 5 as to how much we're looking forward to it?
Do we have to?
No, I think that might be a bad idea.
I thought it played much better than the Eurogamer build. Eurogamer Expo, it was all a bit dodgy, to be honest.
So it's coming along nicely.
It's definitely improved, and you see more... In this playtest, we saw more of the ecosystem where the enemies there attacking each other and they're calling each other for help and things like that. So
yeah, okay, however, so there can be, well, there can be some frustrations if you choose the wrong weapon, then it's very, very slow. Mm. Your character doesn't move very fast either.
That's what happens when you pick a giant sword, I don't know.
Yeah, okay, in that respect, then it's realistic, yeah. But it's still frustrating.
It did seem a bit annoying.
And then when you die as well, you go right back to the very beginning village.
I didn't have that happen to me, but I saw lots of people just turning up on the other side of the map when I was trying to fight a boss, which
can certainly take quite a long time.
Frustrating.
So from the frustrating to the frantic, Sin and Punishment. What's the subtitle to this one? Sin and Punishment?
It's Successor of the Skies.
Successor of the Skies.
We said in tandem then.
They say in tandem.
That's what we did.
Well, you guys have played it an awful lot more than me, and I didn't play it at all. I might do. So I'll shut up. Go ahead.
Well, it's this time Nintendo has shown it off. They've shown it with the Wii Zapper peripheral, which seems to be the main focus. So anyone that enjoyed House of the Dead or Ghost Squad should thoroughly enjoy this. It's very different from the original Sin and Punishment, using the Wii pointer control for all your shooting action. It is fast and frantic.
Certainly seems it.
It will keep you on the edge of your seats, and it is thoroughly fantastic, I would say.
Thoroughly fantastic, Mike?
Thoroughly fantastic. Yeah, I would agree with that. I'm not really sure what I think of it compared to the N64 version just yet. It looked a lot better today than it did at the build we played at the post E3 show last year. Do you agree with that?
It's definitely come along quite a bit, yeah.
Because it looked, I think it actually feels better with the Zapper than just the remote and Nunchuk as we've played it before.
I think that might be your preference.
Remain divided.
I'm not really a massive fan of the Wii Zapper, as anyone who ever read the Link's Crossbow Training review agreed with and attacked me for. But it's fine. It works really well with it, I think. I suppose it's because I've been playing a 5/30 eco shooter recently.
There's a lot going on, definitely. Shall we move on to Fling Smash?
Yeah, it's the prize of the show, I'd say. Yeah. I mean, I know yourself, Mike, you know quite a lot about this. You've got a secret crush for this game, I realise.
Yeah.
However, I knew nothing about it.
I don't think anybody really knew anything about it, even though you say that, because we got about a 40-second trailer at E3 last year, and that was it. It said, it's motion gloss, have fun.
Yeah, it
and
seems to be.
One video came out of it, and it was off someone's YouTube account, and nobody ever watched it.
Yeah, it seems to be announced at the same time as Xenoblade and Zangeki and Line Attack Heroes, which has disappeared off the radar. And Band Smasher, which is now Fling Smasher.
Probably a better
name.
Fling Smash,
which is a very descriptive name.
Yeah, and you fling and you smash.
It indeed does. What it says on the tin. It uses the motion plus controls for accurate movement of the little ball that comes on screen, and anywhere you flick the controller, the ball will fly and will bounce around and smash any blocks in its path. And there's a bit more skill to it than that, because there are various objects and items and power-ups that you can pick up along the way.
There's certainly a tactical element to it, and as someone who's not a massive fan of kind of needless Wii remote waggling, it certainly comes kind of close to that camp. But I think once you start to get the hang of it, and after doing a few levels myself, it certainly felt like there was quite a bit to the game. And it seemed like quite good fun. It's definitely an innovative way of kind of getting to grips with the motion plus controls and trying to do something a bit different with them. So
I think it's a lot more accurate than you think. In this setting we're just getting thrown on us really, aren't we?
Yeah.
So we don't get a proper chance to experiment with everything. But I found that sometimes you would be waggling senselessly, like you said. But other times you'd stop midair and you'd move the remote exactly how you want, and whatever angle you moved it at, it'd move exactly as you would expect it to move.
Yeah.
And there were moments of excellence in the controls. I think if in the full game it's those controls manage to stay out throughout and it's not just mindless waggling, then it's going to be a definite buy for me.
Yeah, I've said to a few people today that for those sort of people that picked up Wii Sports Resort and they enjoy the sort of game where they can just jump in, pick up the controller and just go for it without reading any instructions or anything like that,
that's exactly
this
what it
Fling Smash is just like that.
Yeah.
Casual people should lap this up, definitely.
A very Wii-y game, I think.
I think there is a further level of expertise that if you, you know, for, I think it's going to appeal to both casuals and hardcore, if we're going to use those labels, because I think there is the element where you can just jump in and waggle around if you want to, and the levels are short enough to do that and just get a few people in on it. But I also think if people want to get the high scores, they're going to be, you know, working out exactly how they need to be using their angles on the remotes and
can become a hardcore fling smasher.
I think that's yes.
Sure. Okay. So there was quite a few DS games on offer. Photo Dojo. Dojo
yes,
Photo.
Photo Dojo.
Photo Fighter X.
Which we were shown a bit of, and we really need to go and actually play through properly. But elsewhere, kind of the key DS title that's also being shown on the Wii is Wario DIY.
Yeah.
Mike.
Yes, I'm the only one that got to play that.
Yeah, there's two versions, isn't there? There's the DS version, and then it's the WiiWare accompanying version.
Yeah, the main version is the DS. DS. Is it DS?
It's
or
just
DS
a regular.
Is it just regular DS?
Regular,
it? Regular DS.
The main version is the DS version, and the whole point of it really is it's a WarioWare game as usual, but you've got this whole extra side, a creation side to it, so you can create your own mini games with your own graphics, your own visual. Visuals and your own graphics are the same thing. your own audio.
Yeah.
So if you want, I created one where I had a bird flying out of a forest that was on fire, and then you win supposedly. But I didn't go through the tutorial, so I think it's probably a lot easier than I actually found it.
It's one of those where you'll get rewarded for the amount of time that you put in.
Yeah.
However, have you got the patience?
However, for those that lack the patience, apparently it does come with 100 pre-installed minigames already, and I think the WiiWare version is the same.
The WiiWare version is the same. It comes with a bunch of preloaded games. We couldn't get a price on the WiiWare version, even though we asked. The great thing is you can transfer games that you've created on the DSi version over to your WiiWare version, and then through Nintendo Wi-Fi connection you can then send those games to other Wii owners or other Wii owners, and then those Wii owners can transfer them to their DSs from there.
It's all very Little Big Planet, really, isn't it, to an extent?
They didn't have them online enabled, so we couldn't see the actual storefront, I suppose.
Yeah.
It all seems very user-friendly and...
If the WiiWare version does indeed come with 100 games installed before you even start messing around, if that comes for 1,000 points, that's still only £9 for 100 mini-games, which is not a bad deal at all.
No, especially for kind of a top-end Nintendo game, which WarioWare is.
I think the main focus on this one is user-generated content rather than actually what's in there. I think you can buy it as a normal WarioWare game, but the amount of slots speaks for itself in terms of how many you can save. In the DS version you can store, I think it said about 100. In the WiiWare version I know you can store 72.
Okay.
There we go. Right, so let's move on to the big guns, I think. We say the best till last. Mario Galaxy 2 was unveiled from behind a large curtain after the end of the presentation in true cheesy style.
Yes.
And there were big queues for the game throughout the day.
Yeah.
Does the game justify the hype, Mr. Riley?
I was not the massive fan of Galaxy that everyone else was. However, Galaxy 2 seems to be winning me over, mainly because of its inclusion of Yoshi, and some much-needed 2D sort of levels, which I thought was a very great, very good addition. Clearly Nintendo's looked at the sales of New Super Mario Bros. And thought, hang on a second, what sells here? 3D or 2D? Oh, 2D. So we'll throw some of that into the mix. Mm. And the thing that really won me over, though, was the challenge levels. There is one particular level that James recommended I try, and he laughed in a sort of maniacal way as he recommended it. It involves swishing the controller to make a platform change from either red to blue. And if it changes to red, then the blue ones just become a hole.
Yeah, so they alternate, basically, and you jump and then spin the Wii remote, and you have to go from platform to platform spinning Kind of, it's a bit of a puzzle, it's a bit of a platformer, and you have to collect the 100 purple coins.
Yeah, so as you jump over what would be a blue gap and you shake the controller, then it fills into a blue platform. And then, of course, then there's red holes, and then you jump over the red hole, and as you're in midair, you shake the controller again. So it's a test of your skill, and you've also got to do it in within a time limit.
Skilled as Adam is, he completed it.
Apparently was the only person that completed it, so
well done to him. Well done, well done.
I might be rubbish at Monster Hunter, but hey.
But hey, so he can do that.
So did you two mainly focus on like, the challenge levels then?
We did quite a bit of that one, and I had a go at the first level in which you see Yoshi, which you get to inflate him into a big balloon and go...
What's that one called?
Something to do with trees.
And you chase a piranha plant around around a globe.
That was a recreation of the first boss in the first game.
Yes, it did look familiar to me.
They've definitely recycled a lot of content. And a lot of ideas. But they've added some new stuff as well. So Yoshi's in there, and you can drill through levels with a special kind of corkscrew drill type thing. And it's clear that they're definitely putting in some new stuff to kind of, as Adam rearranges himself in pain from the cold, cold floor. So let's move on to Metroid before one of us kind of cramps up or something. Metroid Other M is definitely a game that they're very much pushing at this event. They have, if you imagine, there's kind of a big bear pit in which all the other games are located, and then up on the first floor behind a curtain, by appointment only, is Metroid Other M.
We have to wear
headphones and...
All given special wristbands, and depending on the colour, we got given a particular time slot to go up and play for about half an hour,
But basically kind of a good decent slot of kind of tutorial slash first level.
Yeah, tutorial slash cutscene slash 2D gameplay slash lots more cutscenes slash little bit of Metroid Prime. And then a bit more cutscenes.
So what we're saying is, and what in fact we were given kind of a talk through introduction to the game, and I think the word cinematic experience came up.
Cinematic action experience.
Yeah, much more focus on storytelling and backstory of Samus. Yes, so basically there was a lot of story.
Well, it follows on from the events of Super Metroid, where the baby Metroid has helped out Samus kill Mother Brain, and then it just continues from there. And it seems like no one really has any trust in Samus. It seems like the army generals
become a rebel without a cause. And indeed, I'm going to get out my cliche-ometer. The story definitely does seem a little bit that it's coming from that kind of place. Her heart is pierced, and she still feels it now. And you know, she's the sassy rebel, and there's the black general that doesn't take any rubbish. And you know, it's all kind of action game by numbers, but it's certainly very well done. And something that really impressed me that I wasn't expecting to see done so well is the transition between the side-scrolling third person and the first-person view, which is achieved by simply rotating the Wii Remote round to point at the screen.
It doesn't sound as awkward as it, but it isn't as awkward as it actually sounds, is it? Because I know there were some concerns in the comments actually on Keep 3, people saying, "Oh, I don't want to put my controller down and pick it back up and be doing it all this different way and swapping all the time." It's not like that at all. You're literally just taking your left hand off your controller, moving, and then moving back. I didn't find it a problem.
Yeah, because for those that are not aware, the standard gameplay is very much like Super Metroid and the Metroid on the Game Boy and the NES. So you will hold the Wii Remote on its side as if it was a NES controller, and you'll use the D-pad and the 1-2 buttons to kind of run and jump. However, if you wish to change to the first-person viewpoint and then focus on items and fire off missiles, all you do is, like Mike said, take your left hand off the controller, point the controller towards the screen, and then you're suddenly in a first-person viewpoint.
And it does work very well. There's certain issues to do with sensitivity. Sometimes it thinks you've turned to first person when you haven't, but hopefully they're just kind of minor problems that will get ironed out. But I certainly think it, even though it was quite a cinematic experience, it was certainly a very impressive experience.
It's a definitely interesting new direction for Nintendo, that's for sure.
Yeah, an exciting change for the franchise as well. Well, that's pretty much everything that we saw, apart from the bottom of a beer bottle.
Which I saw many times, but you wouldn't guess, because James is now stumbling.
So there we go. we'll head back in and have a bit more gaming. try out a few more things, see if we can maybe get another go on Mario Galaxy or something like that.
See how many more bottles of beer we can
see how many bottles of beer we can find the bottle of. And that's it from us. In a record time of 21 minutes and 45 seconds, we've managed to
blast
through a whole media summit. Well done.
It lasted twice as long as the Nintendo conference this morning.
I didn't even have to crack the whip once. Right, so from the very cold cloakroom floor of the Osu Arena, I bid you farewell from me.
Ta-ra.
And I will no doubt see you all soon.